May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Let me find a place here I'm going to mark so I won't be turning pages. What we started to do last week is sort of meandering our way through the Gospel of John as just an overflow of my devotional life with the Lord, my prayer life. And the Lord told me that He wanted me just to travel through the Gospel of John, and He wanted to just reveal the love of God to me in the Gospel of John. Therefore, just passing on what I'm learning, what I'm seeing, and I took several years and preached through the Gospel of John and taught through it some years ago. I think it was 2011, and so very familiar, but Scripture never gets old, and there's so many layers to it. So you can read the same thing 1,000 times, and the Lord can speak a new thing to you as time goes by. Because our heart does get more tender, and the thing about getting older, that's wonderful, is that even though your outer man is decaying, the inner man's being renewed day by day. And so there are things that you can see and get when you're 60 that you could never get when you were 30 and 40. There's just an interior development and maturity and growth. It just allows you to see things with greater childlikeness. I was talking to somebody today from Arizona. I used to don't answer the phone in the mornings because that's my prayer time, but this is a dear friend I don't hear from very often. And some years ago, she and her husband invested about $50,000 in our home to convert it into a handicap house, and so for Olivia. So I was glad to hear from them. But they were asking me some questions about a certain thing about prayer, and I was able to just remind them that the deeper you go, the simpler it gets. Because the Scripture says, unless you are converted, the word that means is change, and become like a little child, you can't explore the kingdom of heaven. And so the more childlike you become, the more the Word opens up to you, the more you get in touch with the heart of God. Westerners like to be, are impressed, super impressed with education, and I'm for education, but they're super impressed with deep things and heavy things and all this kind of stuff, and they create the funniest expression of Christianity that they make it so hard, but it's not, thank God. So we're in John chapter 1. I've got no schedule or plan. We may be here until I go be with Jesus. And into this gospel. And chapter 1 is pretty stunning. Just to remind you, what I love this scripture that says, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And He explains that a little bit more when it says in verse 9, and there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. That Jesus enlightens every human. I think this is one of the more important scriptures I've read in a while and had more clarity about, because all of humanity is really confused about who they are and what their purpose in life is and what the purpose of life is all about. And Jesus came as man, the human God. He came as man, clothed as man, clothed in your humanity and my humanity. And though God lived as man, to give us as the second Adam the right image, enlighten us as to what humanity is supposed to look like. We've dumbed it down so much that our expectations are so low of what life really can be. And so when we use terms like Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, we don't let that stretch us. Or I would even use the word liberate us to dream bigger, for our dreams, for what our life can be like, to match His dream for us. And so Christ, again, didn't just come as an example for us, as true, but as an example of us, and that His life enlightens every human. His life is that thing that says, this is, you want to know what life can be like for you? You know, you want to know what humanity's possibilities are? You want to know what their purpose is? So, watch. Unfortunately, Christians often, this is not what the churches believe from the beginning. Churches think of, they read the Gospels and think, well, that's really cool. Jesus did that. He did that as God. He's the Son of God. But Jesus made it very clear that He did nothing on His own initiative. He could have, but He didn't. He didn't do any of those things as God. He did those things as the incarnate man, the Son of Man. And he was the author and the perfecter of faith. God doesn't have to live by faith. He lives by truth. But Jesus lived by faith. So I love that. I love that. What's the standard? What is there something we can show the world and say, this is an example of normal humanity? Oh, him. Oh, and therefore, when we walk in Christ-likeness, what's happening? We're also revealing. You know what it says about Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 12? That he's the light of the world. So it goes with this. But you know what it says about you and me in Matthew 5:14? That we are the light of the world. Then he says, and we're the salt of the earth. But we are the light of the world. How can we be the light of the world? He's the light of the world. Because we're in him. And he's in us. And so Christians should be the ones now, as the body of Christ, that enlightens people, that says to them, look at the life we live, and you'll discover that what a human being can actually be. You'll discover the wonder and the miracle of who God created us to be. You'll watch my life. It should be a blueprint of this liberated freedom, joy unspeakable, full of glory, not depressed, not anxious, not angry, not bitter, not all the other nonsense kind of life that you're longing for. Life with meaning, exhilarating purpose. I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world because Jesus is the light of the world. But he says this at verse 9 again. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Verse 11, he came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. Here's the thing I like about those two phrases. It's coming into the world and he came. That's who our God is. God is our God is a God who just keeps coming after us. Even once we become Christians and we mess up, he doesn't turn and pout and now you see if you can find me after messing up like that. This whole thing about running after God, he's been running after you since the fall. His running after you doesn't embarrass him, doesn't humiliate him. He doesn't have so much pride that he can't run after you. Isn't that what human beings do? Well, no, I'm not going to go apologize. Or I'm not going to go talk to them because they're the one who did it. But God reconciled us to himself. He did that. We didn't do anything. And so he comes to us again and again because he understands our fallenness. And he has a dream. And that dream is that you and I would manifest his likeness, would enjoy all that he is and manifest all that he is in fullness. And so he never stops coming after us. Now, that's hard sometimes for people to believe because it sounds like God's too big for that. He's too great for that because that would be like humiliating. The Lord doesn't have the issues that you and I have. He doesn't get insecure about that stuff. He was stripped naked on the cross, actually. He wasn't embarrassed about his love for us. He's secure. When you're secure, then you can run after people because you're not trying to win. You just want to win them. That's why he runs after us. He's not trying to win. He just wants to keep winning you until you get so comfortable with him, you begin to manifest him. Isn't that good? I love that place. We looked at it, I think Friday night. Well, CTKers will look at it probably next Sunday. The picture of Jesus in John chapter 10, Luke 10, jumping up and down. And so I'm just here to tell you that who he is. When I say these things to you, that he's absolutely giddy over the fact that you are going to be here today. That's embarrassing. He's God. Really, you think God is like stiff, old God with a gray beard and a billy club? He wears his collars too tight because he's just that way? No. It says in verse 12, but as many as received him, wow, aren't you glad I didn't have to achieve him? But Christianity's a him, not a thing. Salvation's not a thing. It's a him. Salvation is Jesus. It's because you received him that you're saved. I don't mean by that because you received him, you're forgiven, going to heaven. It's because you received him that he's now taken over your life so you can experience his life. That's the abundant life. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become. And the word become here can be translated emerge. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to emerge as children of God, even those who simply believe in his name. Now, I hear people say this statement sometimes, and they'll go, look, everybody, the whole world, they're all God's children. That's not true. The Bible doesn't say that at all. Frankenstein created Frankenstein, the thing, but that wouldn't make him his father. That was his creator. God is father, but the Bible's really clear. This is a place I was marking from 1 John 3:10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. And he talked about practicing righteousness. And there's not a place in the Bible where it says that God is the father of the whole world. He's the creator of all people, and he loves them so much that he stepped out of eternity and clothed himself in humanity and was crucified for us. So he loves every person he's created. But the reason he loves them and longs for them, because he wants to be Abba to them. He wants to be Papa to them. He wants to bless them. He created us to bless us. Do you understand that? God didn't create us to toy with us. The triune God didn't sit around and go, you know, we're tired of playing this game, so let's pick a better game that's more fun. Let's just create people so we can toy with them, make impossible demands on them, and then punish them every time we want to. That'd be so fun. God is love, and so this triune God, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's been this eternal dance of joyful, incredible love for each other, and love wants to give. And so God wanted to create a creature that could share in all that he is and all that he has, could enjoy that fellowship, experience the wonder of all that, could contain his very life in Christ, enjoy Jesus' relationship with the Father and the Son, and Jesus enjoy living his life out through us. Our grafted into his life, his grafted into ours, this whole thing. And that's the whole point. And so he longs for the people who are lost. The enemy, the whole world, it says in 1 John 5:19, lies under the power of the evil one. And he's not a very good father. Scripture says lost people are children of wrath, but God's not angry at them. He gave his life for them. But he's not their father. But he gave his life for them so he could be their father. So he could give them all the things he created them to experience. Any dad, any man who says, I want to have a child so that I can be as cruel and mean and a perfectionist. No. They're a psychopath if they are. But God the Father created us to be a father to us. And not only to be a father to us, but to be the father to us in the sonship of Jesus. We get to have Jesus' relationship with the Father. So the next time somebody says to you, well, they're a child of God, even though they're really whatever, you could say, no, but I can tell you the Father would love for them to be. That's why he took care of everything, removed every barrier. And if they'll just believe, he actually can be their Papa. He can be their Abba. We'll stop there. There was one more thing, but we'll save that for tomorrow. Because remember, Jesus came. We're going to see a place tomorrow. It says Jesus came. He was full of grace and truth. Because he was full of grace, he told the truth about God, because that's who God is. God's a God of grace, and he's the best father. I mean, it's incomparable, right? 1 John says in chapter 3, oh, what foreign love is this? We never experienced it before. You may have had the best dad in the history of the world, but it's nothing like our Father. His means received him. To them he gave the right to emerge as children of God. And the kind of child you are is that you've been grafted into the very sonship of Jesus. Isn't that cool to think this is what life is for me? I'm emerging more and more how to function as one who's a co-heir with Christ. Well, Lord, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm not sure who it is. There's someone here who's had some left shoulder issues. I don't even know the extent of it. And God's going to heal you today as you receive Eucharist. Is that you, John? Well, maybe everybody in the room has a left shoulder thing, and you're all going to get healed. That's what he does. Well, let's stand together.